is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Oswego Mortgage. We look forward to the conversation every week with the one, the only, number 21, Paul Moyer. Hi, Paul.
How are you guys doing? Feels like Groundhog's Day.
I know, right? By the way, Paul is joining us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. Yeah, once, you know, we thought the Mariners were taking over in the way of headlines and conversation, and it's like Russell and Mark Rogers said, well, hold on a minute. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. We've got more we want out there, so you guys rewrite those headlines.
They definitely rewrote them.
Well, what's your reaction? I assume, did you get a chance to read the article in The Athletic? And if not, I'm assuming you've heard the majority of what's contained in there. What's your reaction?
Well, I did read it. As a matter of fact, I went through it, and there are 33 times that source, multiple sources, some people, a coach from another team, Wilson's camp reports rumors. Colin Cowherd cited rumors. Tyrann Mathieu tweeted. There's 33 of those in the article. And so maybe there's some truth to some of this. I don't know. I think to me it's a little tabloid article on the thing. But I guess my two takeaways on it is, one, if this is true, you know, and if it's really all these things that were thrown in there, I'd be divorced so many times for not cleaning the dishes. This stuff was just nothing. But my one issue is with Russell on this. If these are truly sources and they're coming from his camp, he needs to put a kibosh on this. He needs to tighten up his camp, what's going on here, because this is just starting to fester, and it's not good. And you're a good communicator. You know, he's always said the right thing. And, you know, he's a couple things that, you know, went out a couple of weeks ago in some of his interviews. But when we start getting sources and camp and someone close to him, and then it closes with the article. I thought this was the funniest part. Asked if Wilson will be a Seahawks quarterback in 2021. A source close to the quarterback answered with just two words. Good question. I don't. Is that an article? I mean, is that worth even us having a conversation? But if all this is true, then he needs to make a statement and come out and say, "Hey, you know what? I am frustrated. Here's why." First of all, he ain't getting traded. He is not. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. I should never say never, but it's 0.0001% chance he's getting traded. And part of it's just, I don't know how you can make it work, you know, financially. And people giving him stuff. So, but something good to talk about. But I really think Russell on this one is if this is all coming from sources in his camp, I think he needs to make a statement.
Well, let me ask you the other side of that, because we hit it yesterday and people saying, and I think it was Steve Buhnen that was saying it, and Greg Bell responded that Pete Carroll and John Schneider need to make a statement, in his opinion, just saying, hey, you know, the reason these conversations continue and fans are worried is because nobody has come out like Pete and John saying, hey, Russell is our guy. There is zero interest in moving him. He's going to be here. All is well, essentially. Feeling like they need to do that. Now, that goes against what they normally do, but do you put the same thing on them, that they should say something to that effect, or do you just put this on Russell to come out and kind of squash this whole thing?
Well, my first reaction was it needs to come from Russell, just because I think it started from Russell. It didn't start from the Seahawks, right? But, you know, frame that, I think they both need to come out. You know, first of all, they're talking. This isn't a broken marriage. You know, they're going to be together their 10th season coming up. If all of us have been married 10-plus years, you know, you get frustrated with each other, and you don't always agree on how to do things throughout the day. And this is no different. I mean, these guys are around each other more than they are around their spouses. Maybe they need to come out and just to put this to bed. But, you know, to even create a story that there's going to be a trade – you're not going to have a trade unless the Seahawks said, we're going to rebuild. If we're going to rebuild, we'll trade to the Jets. We'll take their number two pick. We'll draft that kid from BYU or some other quarterback, and we'll start grabbing some draft picks, but we're starting over. And I just don't see that happening at all, because to go $30-plus million in dead cap money this year, you definitely have to cut Bobby Wagner. You could not bring back Dunlap. I mean, I don't know how you'd create a team with the lowering of the salary cap. So, I mean, just to start that right from the get-go, it's not happening. Will it ever happen? You know, I don't know. If they truly are such at philosophical differences of how to win, that's tougher. I think they like each other, and I think they all respect each other. You know, but if Russell thinks, you know, winging the ball around 40, 50 times a game versus running the ball in a balanced attack and they can't get past that, then that would be a tougher conversation.
So, Paul, a couple weeks after the Seahawks lost reportedly to Dallas in the 2019 wild card round, Russell signed with a talent management group, Creative Artist Agency. Did you have any kind of representation in that regard, Paul, while you were a player?
Yes, it was myself.
Oh, you. Okay. You were getting your own endorsements and commercial opportunities?
Well, it just...
Go ahead, sorry.
If you had a joke to make, I don't want to get in your way.
No.
Okay.
Never stand in the way of comedy, Dave.
Yes. You know, I mean, I just wondering if it's that. Do you think it's... that they're getting in his head and saying, you know, you need to make a stink if you want to be taken seriously, or is it, you know, maybe his agent that, because we talked about this in the first segment, he holds enough sway to ask for a meeting with Pete and John. And, you know, I think Bob suggested, well, maybe they did meet and he didn't like what the answers that he got. Maybe that's what it is. But it just seems very strange to me to play it out in the media. Like, what are you trying to get? Because as Bob and I always point out, the texters, you know, and the callers and everything, they're always going to side with the team. I mean, even Russell Wilson, who is just the most beloved, you know, quarterback ever. I mean, if he is, you know, saying things that are against the team, anti-team, then that's going to – I don't think that that's accomplishing anything for him. It's just very strange that they would play it out, I guess, in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, that one paragraph you were talking about, because Sierra, they both had the same agency, or they were going to – maybe it could launch her career more back in New York, and then it writes, suggested. I'm like, so again, so the article is suggesting because – they signed with these people. This is what Russell and them are thinking. Look, we haven't heard Russell really say anything, you guys. These are sources, people that are supposedly close to him. That's why I have an issue. You need to rein this camp in. You know, you can put all of this to bed. I was talking to you earlier, but Bob, have you heard Key and Peele, the Obama angry translator skits before?
No, but I like those guys.
They're hysterical, and the demeanor sometimes of President Obama and Russell are the same, right? They're on script. They're all very positive.
Yeah.
But often, you know, when they're done, you go, I'm not sure what they really said, you know? And so they have this skit, and actually President Obama loved it. And so they would bring in, well, what's he really saying? And the translator would walk in, I think it was Key, would come in and he goes, what I'm saying is, and he would start getting all mad, you know, between his relationship with Michelle and just how he had to deal with Congress. I feel like we need an angry translator for Russell Wilson. What are you really trying to say? And just get it out and say it yourself. Because these sources, to me, that's irritating. I don't like articles like this because there's so much speculation. I think it's really about nothing. I think the Jake Heaps part, look, he wants to win. But we don't need to do this the way it's going right now. I mean, John Schneider and Pete are completely approachable. And you may not agree in the bottom line. In public opinion, you're not going to sway anything. It's just about winning games. And if, you know, Pete can't convince you the best way to win games with his philosophy, you know, then maybe down the road you guys do part ways. But I don't see that happening right now.
Well, all right, let's move on from Russell. Dave and I have started a free agent breakdown. We did it with the Seahawks free agents. Now we're taking a look at free agents around the league that would be appealing to this team. We started with the O linemen because that feels like the most pressing need, and Russell feels the same way, I'm pretty sure. But what is there a name out there that stands out to you? We went through the top 10, and today we went through the top five. Went five yesterday, five today, but the one that everybody seems to point to is Corey Linsley. He's 29 years old. He's the highest ranked free agent center according to Pro Football Focus, if you're into their grading system. But is that a move you'd look at and say, man, that makes that line infinitely better? That is a move they need to make, or is that a luxury move?
I actually think the center spot is probably the most important position for Russell Wilson. And I'm not saying, yeah, I'm saying, I think they need to make an upgrade there. I really do. And the reason why is a great center, there's a couple things that he does for Russell. One is he helps on protection. And, you know, that's an important piece. And, you know, when they were shuffling at times, you know, some centers around, you know, there's a lot going on for a quarterback. That's number one. Two, I think the kryptonite for Russell is anything that is gut pressure. So you just have to make a stand that you can't be a finesse player. I don't believe at center in our type of system. I think it's a critical point. You know, again, the salary cap thing's really, if it's unlimited money, yeah, give them to me, because I do believe we need to upgrade there.
What about KJ Wright and his comments, Paul? I know you had some thoughts on that. I mean, he said something about you pay playmakers, and he's been making plays. You know, the last 2 years have been his best years of football in the NFL.
So I'm going to do some of the reading between the lines on this one, okay? Because that's what I feel like what we're all doing nowadays. I thought that was actually a really interesting interview in some of his comments. And I'll read between the lines on this one, because KJ has played some of his best football, maybe his best football the last 2 years. And I thought last year he looked fantastic. He was running really well. I think they really found the right position for him. And he made a comment about you pay playmakers, David, you just mentioned. And I started thinking about it. I go, what? You're right. You, that's what you do. And you know who made more plays at linebacker than anybody on that Seahawks team? It's KJ Wright. And the things he was asked to do. And so I think he's saying, from a frustrated part, is, look, you're paying a middle linebacker that I'm playing better than right now at $18 million. And you want me to give a home discount? I don't know if – I don't think he's going to be able to secure a huge deal from anybody just because of his age and where I think he has to play at linebacker. But I thought that was really interesting. And the other part is, look, I think Jordan Brooks is definitely a guy who's going to be an inside linebacker for you. So I think it's a tough decision, because I would hate to see KJ Wright leave. And, you know, I mean, I think Bobby's still got, you know, some good years left in him. But from a money standpoint right now, a $10 million guy versus $18 million guy, this is a tough one for everybody, but I'd take KJ.
Okay, so no. What about money? Money involved. Yeah, if money's not a factor, which one do you take?
Ooh, that's a tough one, Dave. The only reason why I would say KJ is I think Jordan Brooks can step in at middle linebacker.
Yeah.
And so I think you have a replacement there. But, whew, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. That's why I'm not a general manager. I can't make that decision.
Well, see, it's funny. I picked Bobby initially because, you know,
you picked KJ initially.
And KJ,
and then went to Bobby.
And then went back to Bobby. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm reading
yeah.
things from top to bottom or bottom to top.
He's out of sorts, Paul.
Screwed up. Yeah. But,
well, it's not. I don't think it's one of those yes no answers. You know, I think Bobby could play more positions, right? I can move Bobby to one of those three linebacker positions. I think KJ, we pretty much know where he fits now.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think we've got a middle linebacker who's going to be a really good player in Jordan Brooks at some point. But I don't need to play Jordan in the middle right now. I might be able to play him more in third down situation. So there's a lot in play there. I want them both back, but I think money is, unfortunately, it is going to be a factor.
Man, it's going to be a factor no matter what spot we're talking about, right? Because, you know, you've got a cornerback situation, which I don't feel great about at all, because I don't know if Shaq's coming back. I don't know what's going to happen with Quentin Dunbar. I didn't love what I saw out of him. I don't know if he's going to come back or not. But assuming neither one comes back, which is very realistic based on how much money they don't have, you've got Reed, who we liked, and Trey Flowers. And then some young guys who've done nothing. We've got no idea. Maybe they'll be the next Richard Sherman. I don't know. But in terms of what they have there without those two, or specifically yeah. Shaq, I don't feel that great about that spot. At least the depth, anyway, does not feel like you've got much there to work with.
Well, here's what I know. Every team is going through this, other than some of the really lousy teams that have $60, $70 million of salary cap room. But any good football team right now, it's got salary cap issues. And obviously, you know, with the pandemic and them lowering that cap space as well, it's just going to be tough for anybody to try to keep their team. So you're not. So what does that mean? Man, you're going to have a plethora of free agents out there that are going to be looking for one year deals to get to the next you know, salary cap adjustment. So there are going to be plenty of players in play out there. And so if you lose a guy like Shaq because someone thinks the value's there, you probably pick up a guy not that far off for half the price for a one-year deal. So I just think all that stuff's going to play out right now. But I will go back to that KJ Wright quote. You do need to pay your playmakers. And I think that's the one part they need to look hard at.
Hey, Paul, in the article, getting back to that, they mentioned that they felt like, well, some of the players, and Richard Sherman specifically, felt like Pete should have been harder on Russell Wilson, and, you know, that he was treating him differently and sort of pampering him and things like that. And then there's a couple of exchanges that are described, you know, like when he says fix it to him at one point. And then, you know, there was a couple of other things that that I thought was interesting. But, you know, did anything about Pete Carroll that came out of that article, did anything stand out to you that, like, you know, Pete needs to do this or that? Because, you know, I'm kind of on the other side. I don't think the Seahawks should say anything. I don't think they should respond at all to any of this stuff. Because, you know, I would think, hey, look, send him a personal text and say, if you want to come and talk to me, door's always open. But, you know, I'm not going to respond for, you know, why would you respond in the media? Because, you know, you don't have to. And I feel like they never do, you know, they never, I mean, if it was up to them, they wouldn't talk to the media at all.
Yeah, I guess there's two ways to look at that too, Dave. You're right. My first thing is I didn't start it. I'm not the one spreading these rumors. We're not looking to trade you. We just got you a new offensive coordinator. You had input. We're trying to do the things, and we're going to try and build this team to win. It may not look perfect like you want it, and that's fine. The other part is, look, I mean, Pete has been – yeah, I think John would be less likely to come out and make a statement because you're questioning personnel right now. And I think that would burn me a little bit. But Pete is, hey, you know, it's all about the players, you know. And so if I need to do something to make Russ happy, you know, he would probably be willing to do it. But they just haven't started it. I mean, they have no part in this. They're trying to build a team. They've been successful. Again, we're going back 4 years ago, and, you know, we're bringing things up from 4 years past. I will say this, though, Dave, we know this. Quarterbacks are always treated different, always. And, you know, how many times did we go out to on a Friday afternoon and a bunch of us were grabbing beers, we're playing pool together, and we're complaining about the coaches and the guys upstairs in the office and from Mickey Loomis having to go get our checks and, you know, from we don't get paid for food and we're not treated right, we need to be paid more. We all complain. And Russell's complaining and some of his camp is letting it out. And that's why, again, control your camp there. But, you know, if the players start really saying, hey, this isn't right, this isn't fair, you know, you've got, you know, 52 other guys, you know, in, on that roster, actually more than that, but that you got to look at too and be consistent with that.
Hey, Paul, we're going to talk about this coming up in a bit, but I want to get your take on the running back position because I was reading a tweet last night where somebody, I can't even remember who it was, I put it on our show sheet, but somebody was basically saying it's looking tougher and tougher for the Seahawks to bring back Chris Carson, so you could be looking at a group with them bringing back Hyde. Hopefully Penny is healthy, DJ Dallas, hopefully he's healthy, Travis Homer. I don't love that group. I got to be honest, it feels like a group of guys. It doesn't feel like you've got your workhorse, your stud back, and the other guys fill in the, you know, give him a rest or give him an opportunity to catch his breath, but really you've got that one lead guy. It doesn't feel like you – now maybe Penny turns into that, I don't know, but just going into a season with that group, how do you feel?
I think they will upgrade it. I don't think they'll go in with that group. But, you know, again, if you got Hyde and Penny, you know, on paper, healthy, that looks pretty good. And I think the other thing, Bob, is, well, what camp are we going to be in? What's the offensive coordinator going to do? What kind of running back is the best fit for the offense we're about to create? And there's going to be a host, again, of free agents out there that are going to be really disappointed that they can't get a contract.
And by the way, I left Alex Collins off the list. I just realized. Yep, they just re-signed him.
As weird as that is, you guys, Alex looked really good. He looked like a different running back. His body was completely reshaped from the last time he was here. I loved him coming out of college. And again, that's probably not the answer, but he looked good. It gives you by committee. So I want to know, what are you going to do with these running backs? Are we going to be a power running game, or are we going to be a screen trap game where we need people to make people miss in a hole? So there's a lot that goes into that, Bob. I think the way our running game has been in the past, I would like a Chris Carson for sure. But if we're gonna, sling this ball a little bit more and do more quick game, quick screens, slants, actual normal screens, tight end screens, that's a lot of running plays right there that'll be taken up. So I guess I'm comfortable with it, but I wouldn't be as comfortable if our previous scheme was in play.
By the way, the 509, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Seinfeld episodes, yes. Paul, but it says, it's an article about nothing.
Much like the show.
Much like the show. What's the show about? It's nothing. A show about nothing.
There you go. What'd you do today? Nothing.
I like that. That's good. Yeah. I mean, that's right. We're having a show talking about nothing that was nothing.
Well, I'll say this, though. I kind of bought into the drama a little bit as I'm reading it. Russ stormed out of the meeting. I was like, ooh, there was a little bit
can
of
you picture that?
A little bit of drama.
Dave,
in there.
Can you picture? So here's my other issue with that. So remember, they just lost two games in a row where they were at the Rams. So that means they flew back home, got home probably very late. We got a short week. We got a Thursday game. When are we having a long conversation with the coaches? And what does long mean? And did he come up and say, hey, I have some ideas? I just can't imagine Pete Carroll saying, "Nah, that's no good. That's dumb, Russell." And Russell getting up and storming out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit of theatrics there. Did he walk out feeling he didn't get his way, or that he didn't feel that they really heard what he was trying to accomplish? And again, how are you going to make a change in a day? It's Monday. My game plan's already in. I got to practice it on Tuesday. We walk through it on Wednesday, and we're playing the game on Thursday. But I guarantee he has input in every game plan. So, I thought that was maybe a little embellished.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the drama. One of the recent movie that I just have loved was Ford versus Ferrari. And, you go back and look, it's factual, it was Leo Beebe really that much of a jerk? And, was Lee Iacocca the savior in this? And it's like, well, no, not really. And it kind of happened this way, but they made it into a drama, and I love that. I'm a sucker for that. So, I'm in my mind, Paul, he went in a huff and just turned around on his heel and, stormed out of the room and was like, that's it. I'm done with you. Maybe he slammed some papers down or something like that. I don't know. I loved all the drama.
Kicked over a chair on his way out.
Exactly.
Slammed the door.
I've never seen that about Russell, but you know what? It could. We're human beings, and maybe he was really frustrated. And I've reading that article and some of the other things behind it is it wasn't like they pulled back the reins on him. I saw that one. They were first in throwings on mixed downs, and they dropped to seventh. In the second half.
That was no big move.
Not big.
Yeah.
And look, the aggressiveness part was Russell. It wasn't he was throwing a lot of interceptions that you go, oh, man, we need to stop throwing so much. He made two or three really bad decisions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Remember the one where he could have ran it for a touchdown, a first down? I think it was Buffalo. He threw it across his body. It might have been the Rams.
It was a Rams, yeah.
It was a Rams game. And he just go, oh, we win the game probably if, you just make better decisions. Don't force everything. And, again, how does that get communicated? Russell – hey, look, we just got to be more careful with the ball. You know that. And did Russell really take that personal like the article said? I don't, he's a big boy. And so, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to bid adieu. I was just going to thank you for your time as you graciously give us time every week. And the listeners are all better for it. We're better for it. And we appreciate you. We just appreciate
thanks,
you, Paul.
I enjoy coming on, so thank you for having me, as always.
And by the way, I look forward to our conversation next week when we debate whether it's better to trade Russ to Dallas, New Orleans, or Las Vegas. So get ready for that one.
He's going to the AFC. We need the Jets. I'll tell you the best one later, okay? That'll be for next week.
Okay, beautiful. There's a tease.
What a
perfect
tease.
Paul, we love you, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it, guys.
There you go. There's Paul Moyer with us every week talking Seahawks football. Coming up, Is the Seahawks trade about to happen? And no, not Russell Wilson, but for somebody else on this roster. We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Our thanks to Paul Moyer for joining us, as he does every week. Listeners love Paul. They love him, Dave.
Yeah, they do. Paul's not short of a strong opinion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he does a good job. But yeah, it's interesting to get his perspective, because here's a guy who has been a player, and he always points out that he took the hard road into the NFL, unlike me, being, you know, pampered as a second rounder.
Yeah.
But he's a free agent, really good football player, good coach, and then, you know, great analyst, and he's been working on the pre- and post-game show since, shoot, they called me in 2002, so it was 2 years before I started, and they were doing a Where Are They Now segment, and I think it was just Dory and Paul, and they interviewed me and everything, but that's when I first became aware that he was doing radio, mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, he's done it, he's done everything for this team, he's been around this team for a long time as a coach, player, and media member. You know, and I always talk about, I think this was my 23rd year with the Seahawks, 6 as a player.
In some capacity, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, 16 or 17, whatever it was, Paul's got to be up around 30.
Yeah, it's he does a good job. I love talking to Paul, and listeners love him, so we appreciate that. Meanwhile, I was scrolling through Twitter last night, as I want to do, and I saw this tweeted out from Chad Forbes, who said, and I think he's just throwing out a potential, a hypothetical, but he wrote that the Dolphins have interest in Tyler Lockett. Seahawks interested in Dolphins, multiple second-round picks, and multiple cheap offensive linemen, not complicated, he says. And then he listed a guy in particular, Solomon Kinley, who's a young guy who's got 1 year under his belt, who was a backup as a guard. He's a fourth-round pick, I believe. And so basically he's saying the Dolphins receive Tyler Lockett, who he says 28 years old, going into the final year of his deal. Seahawks receive either pick 36 overall or pick 50 overall. I guess the Dolphins will give one of those, not both, and Solomon Kinley. I don't love it. I don't love it. I love Tyler Lockett. I understand that he's getting older, but he's 28. You could argue he's in his physical prime right now.
Yep.
And he's about as consistent as it gets in terms of a receiver. I'm not trying to tell you he's Calvin Johnson reinvented, or he's, you know, Jerry Rice or anything like that, but he's what Doug Baldwin was, which is just incredibly sure-handed, a guy who's got a brilliant knack for finding an opening out there when the play falls apart, sets a franchise record this year for receptions, goes over 1,000 yards. I think he's just a perfect complement to DK Metcalf on the other side. And yeah, I understand the Seahawks are light on draft picks, and they're probably going to make some moves to try to fill those gaps. But this one on the surface, I don't know anything about Solomon Kinley. So maybe he's going to be great at some point. I don't know much about him. Again, fourth-round pick, I believe. He was a backup this year at the guard spot. And then you get a second-round pick, either pick 36 or 50. If it were up to me, I'm saying no. Where would you go?
It's moronic. Beyond moronic. Why right. In the world would you trade Tyler Lockett? 9,404 yards is what he has in all-purpose yards, and I believe that is still, since 2015 when he entered the NFL, he leads all players from that point on. And this includes guys like Julio Jones. You know, I mean, you look at punt returns, he's got over 1,000 yards. Kickoff returns, 3,200. I know he's not doing those things as much anymore, but guy has...
I'm glad he's not.
He's got 41. If he still had the skills and the chops, I would have him out there, because you can get hurt just as badly, just as easily on an offensive play as a punt return or a kickoff return. And he doesn't get squared up. But, I mean, the guy has 41 touchdowns. So, and they actually spent a fair amount of capital to trade up to get him in the first place.
I know they traded up. I didn't remember the particulars.
Yeah, they swapped picks in the third round, traded the fourth, fifth, and sixth to the Washington football team. And they've only done that a couple of times. But that was a big trade up. They really knew what they were getting there.
And, you know, you just think about the catch that he had in that San Francisco game. We interviewed him right after that last regular season game. And remember, it was the one that looked like his glove falls off. The ball hits him in the forearm. You can watch slow motion, and his other arm comes around. I mean, he makes catches that other receivers can't. So, yeah, I don't have any idea why would you think about trading away Tyler Lockett. Yeah, I think he's a fantastic player. And not only that, and again, since he entered the NFL in 2015, he's got more all-purpose yards than anybody. So the other thing is that he sets the tone. I know he doesn't sound like a guy who is, you know, very boisterous. He's kind of soft-spoken. But remember when you asked him about all that stuff after that game? You asked him about, you know, the accolades. You're never pointing to your nameplate. Yep. You're never doing any of that. And he just basically said, none of that matters. None of that stuff matters to me. So you're setting – that guy's setting the tone in the receiver room. So now you're going to lose that aspect of it as well. I just think that's – no way.
Yeah, listen, there's a price for everything. If somebody blows you out of the water with something crazy, of course you're going to listen. But that's not blowing you out of the water with either the 36th overall or 50th pick. And we talked about this before, that this year's draft, above any other, I put less stock into draft picks, less value. Doesn't mean there aren't great players out there, but I think, A, it's going to be a lot harder to identify them because of the season that college football just went through. Mm-hmm. You got no combine. Everything is working against making a really solid judgment on a player. I think you can look at previous seasons, obviously, and you can do Zoom meetings and interviews and all that, but I just don't have as much faith or put as much value on the picks this year. So 36 or 50 doesn't equate to a 36 or 50 from last year or years in the future. They're lower to me. They're worth less to me. So you've got a proven commodity. You've got a consistent contributor there who does it every single year for your team. And this year was no different, and maybe his best year. 28 years old, entering his physical prime. No thanks.
Yeah, it's going into year 7, 8, 9. You're a receiver. You get into year 10. Okay, now you're a little long in the tooth, but not now. Not at going into your seventh season in the NFL. And you look at he's really – did he even miss a game? I mean, I guess he missed that one game where he broke his leg. I think it was the last game of the year is when he broke his leg.
What season?
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it was either 16 or 17.
Yeah.
When he broke his leg. So, I mean, as far as Pro Football Reference goes – it shows that he has played in one, he's played in.
He missed one game
in 2016.
Yeah.
And by the way, his rookie year, he was all pro and went to the Pro Bowl as a returner.
Yeah. He tied his career high in touchdown catches, had double digit touchdowns. Yep. He's had back to back years of over 1,000 yards, 100 receptions this year. The previous year was a career high with 82 receptions. I mean, his target to reception ratio is off the charts. He's just no, thank you. I know he's not flashy like DK. He's not that burner. He's got speed, but he's not the big hulky flashy guy like a DK Metcalf or a Julio Jones. But he's a necessity. I feel like he's crucial to what they do.
Also, with a guy like DK Metcalf being brought up, this is his third year. Having him in the room, invaluable. You can't have a player like that, and especially receiver. I mean, a receiver who doesn't want accolades and doesn't, I'm not all about the personal stats. Yeah, give me that guy every time.
Yeah. So, Chad Forbes, thanks, but no thanks on that idea there. Coming up, we touched on this with Paul Moyer, but we'll get a little deeper into this. And the question is, are the Seahawks set at running back? That's coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at the top of the hour, the professor John Clayton will join us on the program. Stay tuned for that. We touched on this briefly with Paul, Dave, and that's talking about the running back position. And just sort of looking at what they've got to work with. Now, they just re-signed Alex Collins, which, okay, that's fine. He looked decent, in the bit that we saw him. It wasn't a ton. But I saw this tweet from Greg Bell yesterday. and he wrote an article about it, but he talked about them re-signing Collins. He says, no, it's not Chris Carson. He's increasingly likely to leave in free agency. It's Alex Collins. Shaping up to be Rashad Penny, cheaper re-signing Carlos Hyde, DJ Dallas, Travis Homer, and Collins. Like, that's just him giving his opinion on what he thinks their running back room is going to look like. I don't love that. Like I said, I guess the question is, if that's your group, can you get to the Super Bowl? Is that a group that can get you where you need to go in a run heavy offense that we assume Pete wants to establish? Is it better? Is it, you know, it's obviously going to be, there's not an obvious horse there. There's not an obvious the man there. Maybe Penny turns into that. Maybe it becomes Hyde if they re-sign him. But on the surface, I just look at it and go, yeah, there doesn't appear to be the stud guy in that group. It's a group of guys.
Yeah, and basically going back over, you know, last year, I mean, other than Chris Carson, Carlos Hyde had a couple of nice runs. I mean, the 50-yard run that he had against Washington was really spectacular because his cutback ability is really good. I just worry about his health. And like Paul said, I also feel the same way that Alex Collins looked different when he came back. And Paul mentioned something about his body type and that he had worked maybe a little harder. I didn't necessarily notice that, but take his word for it. I thought he looked a lot more explosive, but it seems to indicate that maybe you're not going to get Chris Carson back. If you're trying to, you know, sign those kinds of guys, whether it's, you know, Travis Homer, DJ Dallas, Carlos Hyde. I mean, you know, the other thing that goes unnoticed is last year, you know, who the second leading rusher was.
On the of the running backs or just on the team?
On the team.
It was probably Russell.
Russ.
Yeah.
You know, so you want the older he gets that to continue to decrease, and it just seemed like an unnecessarily high number for last year. But, look, he scrambles, so that's fine. But yeah, I like Carlos Hyde and DJ, but to me, it seems like to me that Chris Carson's not going to be available.
That's why it's feeling.
Yeah, it seems like he's going to be. I think he's gotten enough attention, enough respect around the league that maybe he does get a dollar amount that the Seahawks aren't willing to pay for.
So you feel comfortable with this group, though, or you,
no?
No? Okay, because I mean, I think we share the same opinion. We like Hyde, but he doesn't feel as your 16 game guy. Is he going to be there for 16 games? You build the season around him. He's not your future, so he'd be your immediate future, but he's not a guy you're building around. Certainly, you're not going to commit to him the way you might commit on some level to Chris Carson. So he just becomes a guy with some experience who's capable here and there, but I don't know that he's 16 games. DJ Dallas hasn't proven anything to this point. Travis Homer, I think, has proven he's not an every down back, that he's a good receiver out of the backfield type of back, maybe bring it in on third down, those situations. And then Rashad Penny's the great unknown. He's a first-round pick to this point, has been anything but a first-round pick. He's been injured. We'll see how he bounces back. You saw him momentarily last season, but I don't count on him. There's not enough of a resume to go, well, when he's healthy, you know what you're getting. You don't. You have no idea what you're getting with him. You've seen that he's capable at times, but really brief glimpses, really very few and far between.
Yeah, when he's healthy, though, I mean, there was a couple of runs and plays that he had that you can definitely see the talent is there with Rashad Penny. And I know everybody likes to dump all over Rashad Penny, and the main reason why, it's because he's a first rounder, and secondly,
he's unavailable.
Could have picked Nick Chubb.
Well, that too.
Yeah. So I mean that, but I'm not willing to give up on him, and he's still, you know, in his rookie contract. So, you know, I would love it if he all of a sudden, you know, broke out and proved everybody wrong. But he's again one of those late first rounders that, you know, haven't had a lot of success with there, and they've struggled. Just, you know, Jermaine Ifedi, L.J. Collier. And I don't think L.J. Collier struggled at all last year. I thought he had a good season. But, again, he's tagged with the first-round draft choice, and so he's going to be held to a lot higher standard. So, and that's why it was easy to, you know, praise DJ Dallas early on, Travis Homer, because, those guys, you know, late-round draft choices. But when you come with, you know, the first-round tag, there's a lot of expectation there. I'll say this, though, Penny can be. I think he's got the speed. I said this to him one time. I still think he needs to run dudes over more often downfield. And to me, if you get that part of it, that's what Chris Carson has going for him. I mean, he will run you over, but he'll also jump over you, run around you, put a move on you.
I mean, he can do all those things. The thing is, though, I guess with the year that it is, I'm pretty comfortable. I'm starting to get more comfortable parting ways with Chris Carson because I feel like he's going to get a good amount of money. And that I just feel like this. I don't know why, but I feel like if you committed a bunch of money to him, the first thing that would happen
is he'd get hurt. Well, because he has gotten hurt every year, just like Rashad Penny has. Rashad Penny in three seasons has played 27 total games.
Right, but I mean, he's still under the rookie control cap. Yeah. I mean, you're not paying him, you know, huge amounts of money.
No,
but you got to be frugal at that. I think at that position.
Yeah, but just in terms of, all right, I know I can rely on this guy or that guy. I'm not there with him on any level.
Okay, which one are you? I mean, look, there's none of them are, Bob. I mean,
yeah,
Chris
that's
Carson,
the problem. That's the question. Yeah. That's why the question is, how do you feel about this group?
Right. So, and you know, look at the Carolina Panthers. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, that was a dude you could count on.
Yeah.
They signed him to a huge deal. He played in three games. So, I mean, that's, you know, and people were talking about trading for getting Alvin Kamara here. I mean, those guys are just hard to come by. But a running back that can stay healthy, that's really good, I mean, it's a rare breed in the NFL, and that's why they don't get paid the amount of money that a lot of them should.
Yeah, and people have brought up Leonard Fournette. He'll be available. Keep in mind, he didn't do much during the regular season. He certainly popped in the postseason without question. He almost matched his yardage total in the postseason through his entire regular season there. So I get the appeal. I don't know what he's going to cost. I don't know if he's going to price himself out or what he expects to get. I wouldn't mind him. I'd probably feel better about having him here versus what they've got currently got without Chris Carson just because of the inability to count on anybody because, as we just hit on, they all have injury histories. Mm-hmm. So, and especially Penny was, you know, Carlos Hyde has had a representative year. He's shown you what he can do when he's healthy. Penny's had a game here or maybe a half here that it's so minimal in terms of what we've been able to latch on to with him. And I know you've certainly got more faith in him than I do.
Well, but I just think in general, this is a group that find a team where they just know what they have at running back and that running back is healthy. Mm-hmm. And that running back is, you know, is present and playing. I mean, it's very few and far between. It's just a position that, again, this is why the NFL just doesn't value running backs. And then when you do, like you said,
you get burned.
You get burned every once in a while. So, but they signed Kamara to a deal before the season this mm-hmm. last year. It was a pretty lucrative one.
Well, I know that Joe and Derrick Henry signed a big deal and gave you 2,000 yards.
But also, what about Joe Mixon? They gave him like $12 million. Joe Mixon. I'd rather have Chris Carson.
No. Yeah, I would. I just need him to be healthy. Just be healthy if they do resign him. But we'll see. We'll talk to the professor about this moving forward. If you guys have any questions for John Clayton, you can text him in right now. 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Talking with the professor, Wyman and Bob. Coming up on 710 ESPN Seattle.